Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contest prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture show in Chicago, in the United States, on planet Earth, in the universe, in the multiverse, in a galaxy far, far away, in the Speed Force, in the Spider-Verse. You're here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. Good brother, how's it going?
It's going good. How's it going over there?
Everything appears to be everything good, brother. And on today's episode of the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers, you have a very fun list for us to kick off this crazy week. What do you have in store for us?
So today we are going to be covering billion-dollar films. And this is a fun list because this is basically your blockbusters. Not only that, but there's only about 40-something movies on this list that have made $1 billion in, you know, in all of cinema. So this should be fun. A lot of big names coming up. So I can't wait to get started.
I think it's 46 movies have hit the billion-dollar club.
I believe so. Yeah.
And most of them are modern-day movies. So it's going to be fun. And I'm really interested to see because it's one of these type of lists that there's obviously a mainstream pop culture, every person type of quality to these movies. But I also think that there's some very unique films that could be on each other's list that we haven't seen yet. So it's going to be interesting to see the kind of taste of movie we want, even though these are huge tentpole movies, that there is diversity in this list.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we didn't get to see each other's list. Sometimes we'll see each other's list, sometimes we won't. And for a list like this, where they are such big films, but such a narrow filmography to pick from, I like us to go in blinded, so this should be interesting.
I'll go ahead and get us started. And at number 5 on my top 5 billion-dollar grossing films, I have one of the OGs. I have Titanic. This movie, when it comes to the scale of it, the epicness of it, even the hype leading into it, goes unmatched. Nowadays in society and pop culture, in filmography, as cinephiles, the one thing that we take for granted is there's always a huge tentpole movie. There's always a studio movie that's coming up that's going to be the big thing for the next 2 weeks. But when Titanic came out, it was still a rarity. We're still coming off the wave of Jurassic Park and Terminator and some of these other blockbusters. But it wasn't a common every year thing where there was a blockbuster here, a blockbuster there. Titanic was one of those first ones that went from not only can a movie be a blockbuster smash hit, but it can also be a critical darling. And the fact that we got Kate Winslet, the fact that we got Leonardo DiCaprio, and the fact that it was James Cameron, take everything else aside from how much money it made, the film itself is a beautiful film. Talk about immigrants and talking about classism, and you do have what ends up being. Think about this. This is the equivalent of, like, we didn't know we had Russell Westbrook. We didn't know we had Kevin Durant and James Harden on the same team together. These would be the three of the greatest players of their generation. That's the equivalent of this movie. This movie had one of the deepest talent pools when it comes to a main franchise film. And the fact that one of the minds behind it is a guy that every generation of films comes out with something that's a landmark one. To me, James Cameron, this is his big moment when it comes to the billion-dollar films. I know maybe Avatar shows up in your list, but to me, Titanic is a gold standard, and you can't have a top movie list, let alone a top billion-dollar list, without mentioning Titanic. That's why I have it at number 5.
Titanic's definitely a classic, and it didn't make my list because there's just so many good movies on this list, especially for people like us, where these movies are the movies that got our generation into big cinema anyway. But everything you said, I agree with. 1997, that might be definitely on my list. That would be the oldest film. And like you said, it's almost the originator of those billion-dollar films. It didn't invent the blockbuster, but it revolutionized how much money a movie could make and the epicness of a film. And I remember, you know, this was one of the first VHSs to come in two separate tapes. And there's just so much that Titanic did that we take for granted nowadays. But I'm glad you have it. And it's definitely one of, it's a timeless movie, definitely.
And my appreciation for the movie Good Brother really has grown over the years because, like you said, when it first came out, I was obviously a little kid. I wanted action. I was one of the contrarians who said, it's not even about the Titanic. It's about a love story. But, like, no, it's about the Titanic, too. It's about the crew behind there, and it is about what happened when man thinks that they have all the answers. And it's also a story in there, and I think that's the one thing over time I've been able to appreciate more. And it goes to just show how you and I were discussing movies and things that influence us and what makes you a 90s kid, what makes you an 80s kid. This movie was the 90s. And obviously, that Celine Dion song, on top of everything else, one of the most parody moments. I think Titanic is a top tier, and that's why I have it at number five. But Good Brother, what came in at number five for you?
So number five for me is actually the only animated film on my list, and it's Toy Story 3. There was a lot of animated films that made the overall billion-dollar list, but to me, Toy Story 3 is my favorite animated movie of all time. It grew up with me. I started as a youngster with Toy Story 1, and then around when Andy's going to college, I was going to college in 2010 when this film came out. It's one of the highest rated movies on this list. It's a 98 on Rotten Tomatoes. To me, I think it is a perfect movie. I think it is the standard for any animated film. It is the best animated film. It is one of the best films, I think, just in general in the last 20 years. This movie is one of those movies that it was so good. I think it deserved to be nominated for a regular Oscar and not just an animated one. But Toy Story 3 is my number five. It is my favorite animated film of all time.
Toy Story 3 will make an appearance later on my list, Good Brother. So why don't we move on? My number four film is The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. One of the most successful movies ever at the Academy Awards. One of the best stories ever told, not only on paper, but on the screen. Everybody has their favorite character in that movie. There is a certain difference. As great as Harry Potter is, and as great as that whole wizardy world is, nothing touches what Tolkien did and what they were able to bring out in those films. And Peter Jackson brought a certain magicalness that we hadn't seen in cinema since Steven Spielberg. And making you believe that there were literally orcs and flying eagles and dragons and this big eye and, you know, made you believe in knights and shining armor, and it introduced a whole generation to a whole new story and what we got from it, the spinoffs and what we're getting in pop culture now. It's an understatement how important The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King is. You can say whatever you want about shoes and the sand and sandals and shield and swords and all that. This movie not only crushed in the box office, but crushed at the Academy Awards. Not many franchises get to say that. Not many series get to say it got better every single movie. And the third one is the best one. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, my number four movie.
It's funny because 10 years ago, I hated The Lord of the Rings. And I thought it was very full of itself. And it just didn't do it to me. It was too long. Hated it. And then I recently, last year, I went over and I watched all three again. And I'd say this, I think Fellowship of the Ring is my favorite. It's the best one to me. I understand where people go with Return of the King. I think the middle one is garbage and it gives a bad taste going into Return of the King. Return of the King is great though, and I rewatched it. My biggest issue is still the 40-minute ending. It's unnecessary. It doesn't really add much to me. But overall as a film, I love it. It's a great movie. I'm just not the biggest Lord of the Rings fan in general. I think when you do this list of billion-dollar movies, you have to decide what five genres do I want to talk about. And within that five, you have to pick a movie. So in this case, you were like, okay, Lord of the Rings, out of the three, which do I like? And for anime, you're like, okay, I'm going to probably put one animated. What is going to make my top one out of this list of 10 animated films? So I see where you put it on your list. It didn't make my list, and I prefer the first one.
I love Fellowship of the Ring. I actually really agree with you. It's the equivalent of, for all you video game nerds, Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, even though City obviously
it's
is the second one.
It's innocent almost. It's very simple for a big movie.
And it really hit the spot. It was right at the right time. It knew exactly what it was. It was fresh, even though we've seen a lot of things like that in fairy tales and elves and, you know. But it did something very unique. I think Return of the King was all that put together. And then they had the wardrobe, they had the money, they had the writer. But think about this too. What really is unique about The Return of the King is it had a lot of pressure on it. Because, you know, the last two were big success, and obviously it being the final one, I mean, it had a lot of pressure. So shout out to Peter Jackson and what ended up being a great one. And for all you Game of Thrones fans, without Lord of the Rings, we do not get Game of Thrones. The correlation is right there. You can't deny it.
No, like you said, we don't get a lot of modern blockbusters or even modern Swords and Sandals or modern fantasy without the Lord of the Rings. So if I had to pick one, I guess it would be an honorable mention. I would pick Fellowship of the Ring over any of the other ones.
What did make your list at number four, good brother?
So like I said, I broke this list and I was like, I'm going to pick five genres and a number one in that. So at the number four spot, I had to pick a Star Wars movie to me when the list played out. And since none of the original three made over $1 billion, it was between the prequels and the modern three. So between the modern three, I picked The Last Jedi. To me, that one has aged the best. I think what fans are coming around to it, even the negative fans, have learned to appreciate what that movie is. It being very standalone, it having an identity, actually not like The Rise of Skywalker. I think the action's great. I think the acting's phenomenal. We get Luke Skywalker back, R2-D2 back. I like Porgs. I think everything about that film was very Star Wars at its best to me, and original at the same time. So The Last Jedi made my number four.
No Star Wars movie made my list. It was one of my honorable mentions.
I get it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I love Star Wars movies. I'm not even going to, you know, sit here and you know, explain my fandom. I think the big thing for me, though, is at this point in my life, I don't go into a Star Wars movie not expecting $1 billion. I expect something different. Yeah. And for it to hit me, you want to know the one Star Wars movie, and I have to be very specific about it, that really would have made my list, is Rogue One. So if we're going to talk a little Star Wars really fast. To me, Rogue One is something that brought something new to Star Wars. I love the new series of Star Wars movies. I have my complaints about them, but I have my complaints about anything that you love. That's okay. That's part of it, right? To me, the best new Star Wars movie since the Disney era that hit $1 billion is Rogue One. Rogue One brought something new. Rogue One had this weird intensity to it. It had a timetable to it. It had a clean finish to it. It had an iconic Star Wars moment to it. So I totally understand where you're coming from, especially having a Star Wars movie on this list. But if I had to pick one that was part of the modern era, I would go with Rogue One. But good brother, I continue on with our list. And at number three, I have one of my favorite movies, a movie that we seem to talk about every single time, whether it's on the Good Brothers proper or here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network. My number three film, Jurassic Park. I have talked poetically about this movie. So have you. We've argued about Jurassic World, Jurassic Park. At this point, I don't have to. You could just listen to any podcast about it. But simply put, it looked great. And some parts are horror, some parts are action, some parts are sci-fi. It all makes sense. It all holds up. Everybody's charming. Some of the greatest casting of all time. Some of the greatest storylines of all time. One of the most marketable films of all time. It is one of the best films of all time, Jurassic Park.
Yeah, we've already talked about this a million times. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of the original one. I respect it. I understand it. I prefer Jurassic World. We've talked about this on multiple lists now.
So with that in mind, good brother, the good fine folks who listen to us on the Good Brothers can go back and check out any episode they missed, especially when we're talking about Jurassic Park, like our past top five Universal films. But good brother, what is on your list at number three?
The top three really got personal, and they're films. I love all three of these films. And I'm in a minority with this next one because I think a lot of people definitely look down on this movie. It's Avatar. Speaking of James Cameron, like, that's my James Cameron movie. I love it. I understand everyone's complaints. Oh, it's just a remake of Dance with Wolves. To me, it does it better. It's almost a simple upgrade, and I appreciate it being a simple upgrade. It's not a complicated story, but it's not meant to be. And visually, it looks amazing, and I love the worlds it's creating. And I'm super excited for the 20 million sequels that are coming out in the next 20 years. Avatar just hit me at a nice spot. I love the movie. There's really not a negative thing I could say about it. I just love everything about the Avatar universe. I think James Cameron does no wrong when it comes to these billion-dollar projects. It's bigger than cinema almost. And to see it at Disney World and it has its own land just goes to show you how big it truly is.
I saw Avatar opening weekend when it came out. I was floored by it. It's an amazing movie. My issues with it are more over time. You know, it's a movie that it was really a movie of its time, especially you having to go see it in the theater. I think it's not a movie that gets enough justice when it's at home video and when you're watching it on Blu-ray. The universe in itself, I think it's the most successful thing other than maybe Terminator and Aliens, okay? So what James Cameron did with those, expanding those universes, I think Avatar is the first one that he really has made, not only for the art world, but also in pop culture and for marketing and whatnot. Like you said, the world of Pandora is one of the most sought-out things other than Star Wars Land. You know, it's Pandora and the wizarding world of Harry Potter. Those three things, even though one of them is for a different company, those are encompassing, and almost the universes have become bigger than the films themselves. What do you think about that, about Avatar almost being bigger than itself at this point?
I think it's super impressive to the movie itself, because that's all it has is the movie and now the rides. But all those other things you mentioned have either multiple movies and a bunch of lore and video games, and the characters are huge. Avatar, we have almost a faceless lead where it's these blue aliens, the Na'vi, that all look very similar. But like you said, James Cameron just creates this world around it that's so much bigger than itself. And I think what helps it is, like Titanic, anyone can pick it up and watch it and appreciate it and enjoy it. It's not too complicated, yet it makes you think. It's not too simple either.
And speaking of picking up and enjoying, good brother, at number two on my top $5 billion films list, I have Toy Story 3. It's the best one in the series. I love Toy Story 2, and this is always kind of a hard one between Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3. Emotionally speaking, each one of the Toy Story films, literally, I was Andy's age in each one of them, essentially. And I think, obviously, Toy Story 3, there was a certain emotional impact for people in our age group that were going to college, that were kind of getting out of that phase of life as high schoolers and whatnot, and kind of leaving back your childhood. There was an emotional impact about that. The scene with them going down into the fire pit, literally the entire theater was gasping, was holding their breath. They didn't know what was going to happen. What was Pixar about to pull? And obviously seeing Andy drive away, and when you see Woody's wave and how that kind of that gut reaction of, oh man, you do miss those things and you are going to miss them. And there was also this innocence that Toy Story 3 brought that it kept from the first two. It could have been very cynical, and it could have been a contrarian to the other ones. It was hard, and it did deal with the issues, but at the same time, it said everything was going to be okay, and this is part of life. And even with part 4 kind of just doubling down on that, part 3, I think, landed that. And for an animated film, I think you nailed it on the head, it should have been nominated for Best Picture. Because it told a beautiful story. It was voice acted amazing. It was beautifully created. I think Toy Story 3 is arguably one of the best movies ever made. One of the most flawless movies ever made. And it just goes to show the power of Pixar. Toy Story 3 is my number 2 movie. At number 2, good brother, what are you bringing to the list?
So obviously now the top 2 come down to bigger cinematic universes. We have the Marvel and the DC. And my number 2 is the original Avengers. And it's still, to this day, my favorite MCU movie. I love all the MCU movies. I love the Endgame. It's grown on me every time I've seen it. But there's something very charming about the original Avengers. It's very classic at this point. To see how far they've come and to see where it all started in that movie, you have your major 6 right there. You have Loki, who's, you know, at the prime of him being a bad guy. It's our first team-up movie we've ever seen on screen from anything, honestly, and they deliver on every level. It's a movie that just makes you smile, it makes you happy, and it's a great start-off point to where Endgame eventually ends everything in the MCU. Avengers definitely holds a special place in my heart, and that's why I made my number 2 out of all the MCU movies.
Yeah, Avengers and Avengers Infinity War are my 2 favorite Avenger films. Avengers, the first Avengers, I think what makes it so special is we all at that moment knew something was kind of brewing, and we all, our imaginations were going wild. Think about how we speculate right now about all these Marvel movies, and we're already over 25 deep. That moment was something unique. We only had, what, 5 in our back burner? And it seemed like the world was our oyster. We couldn't even fathom the Guardians of the Galaxy and what would be Thor Ragnarok and just all these movies since. And now here we are, and we're like, well, when are we going to get Galactics? When are we going to get Silver Surfer? The simplicity, which is crazy to think about how crazy Avengers seemed at that time, but the simplicity of that first movie and what would end up becoming over the next 10 years, it's something that you almost had to be part of that time to really remember what it was like when we walked out of the theaters after that first Avengers and after that first hero shot we see, and when they're all going their separate ways and we all realize, like, there will be another one. And just how excited, how impactful Avengers was, that when that first trailer for Age of Ultron, and they do No Strings on Me, everybody was just hyped for it because that's how much we wanted more of that franchise. And as great as Endgame is, I think you can never go back to what that first Avengers movie was.
Yeah, it's really the first time you're getting an excited audience about these superhero films. We had the, you know, the solo titles before, but this one really brought in the nerdom together and really started the journey the MCU would be on till just last year.
And at number one, good brother, I have a superhero film that changed everything as well. Not just at the box office, not just for the character themselves, but for the legitimacy of the genre. I'm talking about...
Can I guess if we have the same number one?
Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. Good brother, look, it's my favorite movie. It always kind of wrote... It balances between Goodfellas, Godfather 2, and The Dark Knight. And there's something in common by all of them. And there's just something about a great mob movie. This is the beauty of it. And I guess it's maybe an argument that a lot of people make about this is why it's not a Batman movie. But I have a counter argument to that. Is they're like, well, it's just you take the cape and cowl away and you take away the makeup. It's just a mobster movie. That's Batman. Batman is a crime fighter that's going against the underbelly of a city. Against the corruption of a city. Superman is based off of fighting the magical and the supernatural. That was never Batman. And what The Dark Knight did was took everything you believed about Batman and brought it to reality as close as it can, as close as we might ever get. We saw a Batman that didn't enjoy being Batman, but also knew how to play Bruce Wayne. It was the first time we didn't get the, I like him as Bruce, I don't like him as Batman. Or I like him as Batman, but I don't like him as Bruce. We had just one of the most charming Alfreds ever. Morgan Freeman gave it a legitimacy along with Michael Caine that no superhero movie had at that given point. And then the genius that would be Christopher Nolan, a guy who might make a list we're going to be doing in the future, just goes to show the strength of it, what would become one of the forces in directing in this industry. And then the acting of Heath Ledger. Good brother, I can go on and on. Why is The Dark Knight your number one?
I'll pick it up where you left off. Is, you know, I agree with everything you said. Now we have Heath Ledger, who I just watched The Knight's Tale again for like the fifth time the other day. And it's amazing what a fantastic actor he was. And then this Rose Joker, before Joaquin Phoenix came around and did a similar version, was revolutionary at the time for acting in general. And the fact that we had a superhero movie actor win an Academy Award. Like you said, this film is one of the best films, or it's one of our favorite movies of all time. It's one of the best Christopher Nolan movies of all time. Him being one of the best directors of all time, it kind of correlates together. I've seen this movie probably more than I've seen any other movie in general, whether it's on TV. I remember we had a bootleg of it. I remember we had a collector's edition of it. We had a regular Blu-ray, HD, DVD, whatever it was at the time of it. It's a movie that once it's on, you can't turn it off. It's almost a perfect movie, in my opinion. And like you said, it's because it's so much bigger than just the fun, colorful characters that are on screen. It's just a great film. There's really nothing bad I can say about it. I've seen the movie in theater 3 times. If you want to know a little bit about the Good Brothers, it's The Dark Knight is one of our favorite movies, and we totally agree on that.
Out of any other movie, maybe The Fugitive did it better, where it shot Chicago. Amazing. Like, there's so many great shots in the scenery of this great city. It has some of the most quotable lines. The directing, the cinematography, what it did technology-wise, what he did with cameras, and what he did with IMAX, can't go understated what Christopher Nolan did because of The Dark Knight. And then we were talking about Heath Ledger's performance in it, but don't forget some of that, the cast around them. You're talking about one of the greatest ever who won an Academy Award.
Gary Oldman, Christian Bale.
Just to show you how strong this movie was, Gary Oldman, Oscar winner. Academy Award winner, Christian Bale. Maggie Gyllenhaal, nominated.
Yep.
Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman. And then you have, as one of the better supporting actors, Aaron Eckhart, Heath Ledger. I mean, we could go on and on about this movie.
On that cast alone, you have about 5 Academy Award nominations, lowballing. That's unbelievable. And then about 4 wins.
And that's not even including that Christopher Nolan and that movie got snubbed for not getting nominated for Best Film and Director.
Ahead of its time.
It's the reason why we have 10 nominees now.
Exactly. Like, that's a perfect way to kind of put a bow on that. This movie was so good, it made the Academy Award recognize it needed more spots, and it put comic book movies on the forefront of everything, not just pop culture.
Good, brother. What a fun list, and it always ends up being an even better list when we can gush about The Dark Knight and some of our favorite movies. But with that in mind, good brother, why don't we go ahead and run down these bad boys. And at number 5, I have Titanic. The good brother has
Toy Story 3.
At number 4, I have The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. The good brother has
Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
At number 3, I have Jurassic Park. The good brother has
Avatar.
At number 2, I have Toy Story 3. The good brother has
The Avengers.
And at number 1, the good brother and I have as our top 5 billion dollar film,
The Dark Knight.
Good brother, what did you think about this list? Really fun to kind of go over some of the big heavy hitters that have really made an impact in the film world. What did you think about today's list?
I love lists like this because we get to talk about movies that are just, you know, at the bottom of them, pure fun. And I'm pretty sure we had some honorable mentions. Mine was, besides Titanic, was actually The Modern Aladdin. That was my number 6. I really enjoy that movie. I like what Will Smith did. And I think it's the best live-action Disney movie we've gotten.
So you liked it more than The Lion King?
Yes.
Very interesting. There are a lot of billion-dollar movies. Obviously, we talked about it, but I love Fast 5. One of my favorite ones. And one of the other ones, good brother, The Joker, that came out just last year with Joaquin Phoenix. Not on either one of our lists, and also very divisive on the Rotten Tomatoes score. So we talk about The Dark Knight being our number 1 each. You had The Avengers on this list. What do you think it was about Joker that did get nominated for all these Academy Awards and did have a winner as well not make this list?
I think it's a little too soon for that movie, because especially for what it tried to be, I think it needs a little bit more viewing to really appreciate it. I know I've only seen it once, and I do love that movie, and maybe in a year or two, it'll move up higher on my list. But for now, I think it's just way too new and fresh.
Speaking of new and fresh, we're going to have a brand new and fresh list. What do you have in store for us on the next episode? For all the beautiful people who have stuck around, give us a little sneak peek of what we have planned for them.
We'll be going the opposite direction now and going more toward an indie feel for our top 5 indie films.
That is going to be a really fun one. But until then, good brother, you fine folks can follow us all over the universe. We're on the socials. The Good Brother is on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at MikeMMedia and on Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia. Like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. Subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. Come play video games with us at Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. Please like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcasts. At Mercado Airwaves. Leave a message like Alex sent me here. Alex will buy you a sandwich. Whatever it is, just leave a comment right there. It really helps us, especially on the Apple Podcast Network. Just search us at Mercado Airwaves. And of course, patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves, the home to our interviews with athletes and celebrities. You can get exclusively ad-free and before anybody else at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm the good brother, Mike Mercado. We'll see you in the next episode of The Quarantine Files, brought to you by the good brothers, here on the Mercado Airwaves Network.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests. Prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.